here at Vassal Baptist Church, back in pulpit here, sharing God's Word with you. And, you know, I missed you, and I'm sure you missed me too, right? While I was gone. But I prayed for you, and everything went well. I've been in contact with Michael Bell, filled in last Sunday, and he loves this church too. And I love Dabney Baptist Church because why? People, God's people. And so we get to interact with each other and sharing God's Word and with each other's church from time to time. But it is good to be back this morning with you. Our text this morning is going to be taken from Isaiah chapter 65. A few weeks ago I did verses 1 through 7, and today it's 8 through 16. Well, that's not working. It worked perfect before I started, and now it is shut down on me. All right. Okay. If you are in Isaiah chapter 65, beginning with verse 8, which says, "Thus saith the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for there is a benefit in it. So I will act on behalf of my servants. In order not to destroy all of them, I will bring forth the offspring from Jacob and the heir of my mountains from Judah. Even my chosen one shall inherit it, and my servants will dwell there. Sharon will be a pasture land for flocks, and the valley of Achor, a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. But you who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain," and that's the high places, "who set a table for fortune, and the cups filled with mixed wine for destiny." Now that fortune and destiny were foreign idols that Judah, Israel worshiped. They got off track, and they offered food and drink to please them so they would have a brighter future. But we know better than that, and they should have known better than that, and that's why Isaiah says this here in verse 11. "I will destine you for the sword, and all of you will bow down to the slaughter, because I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear, and you did evil in my sight, and chose that in which I did not delight. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants will eat, but you will be hungry. Behold, my servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. Behold, my servants will shout joyfully with a glad heart, but you will cry out with a heavy heart, and you will wail with broken spirit. You will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and the Lord God will slay you. But my servants will be called by another name." Verse 16. "Because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by God of the truth, and he who swears in the earth will swear by God of the truth. Because of the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight." Now, those were warnings and so forth to Israel, to Judah, then. And there are warnings for us today, in our day and time, not only as individuals, but also as a nation, or as the world itself. And God is serious when He gives promises to all of us, and we are to live out the truth that is spoken about here in Isaiah in the Word. So all of these chapters are relevant to us today, as it was back in Isaiah's day when he wrote these and penned these words. So it's very vital for us to take heed to God's Word every day of our life, to understand that God requires, He demands obedience, and it's for our benefit. It was for Israel's benefit. And He didn't destroy the good with the bad, but He found the remnants that He found that was good, then He pronounced blessings upon those, but those who chose evil and went their own way sought their own destruction. So in our text today, first of all, we see assured freedom, and that's in verses 8 through 10. So in verse 8, God begins to assure the faithful remnant that those who love Him will be delivered. Now let's look at verse 8 again here, and because I want to clarify this as I go through, because it helps us better understand our daily lives. As we go about our life each day, it helps us understand, you know, we have to make choices in this life, whether they're good or bad. But being a Christian, you know, and being guided and led by the Holy Spirit, it helps us to be blessed by God, and He wants to bless us. But if we stray off to the path that He has directed us or set before us, then we fall into the category of what Isaiah is talking about here for those who turn in their own way. But here in verse 8, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will act on behalf of my servants in order not to destroy all of them." Talking about all of them means a remnant, those who trust in God, believe in God, and follow His commands. So the basic point is that God will not destroy the good with the bad. Just because bad grapes, how many of you bought grapes before? And they look so good till you start getting them out and it's, uh-oh, there's some bad ones in there. They're rotten ones. So do you throw all of them out? No, you just pick out those that are bad, discard them, and you enjoy the rest of them. And that's the point here, that God will not destroy the good with the bad. Just because the grapes, bad grapes will be destroyed does not mean the good grapes would be also. So the good grapes, which is the faithful remnant. And I would encourage you, talking about the tares in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 36 through 43. Sometime today, read that, and you'll understand what Isaiah is talking about right here in this verse, verse 8, about the remnant, and will be called out and spared. Now, the significance of the blessing here is the blessing is giving power to increase. You know, as we obey God's word, as we listen and understand the direction that God has for each one of us, we receive a blessing, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out our life to the fullness. It's allowing Christ to live His life through us. So that's the blessing. So through these blessed ones, God will be able to give new life to others. And through our lives, others can be blessed. So the remnants are those who are truly servants of God, those who believe His promises enough to obey His word. And that goes along with us as well. You know, we believe and we carry out God's commandments by obeying His word and practicing those things in our lives, then we too will be blessed. Now, let's look at verse 9. Verse 9 is promises to bless the spiritual descendants of the faithful, life-giving remnant. Verse 9 says, I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and an heir of my mountain from Judah. Even my chosen one shall inherit it, and my servants will dwell there. Now, God will bring forth new life from His faithful people. See, that's the good news. That's the good news. And these will be given the right to possess God's high places. And the scripture refers to God's holy mountain. It's the place of worship. It's the temple of God, where God makes Himself known. And, you know, it's like us coming here into this sanctuary. We come here to worship. We come to recognize the power of God. And He empowers us to live out our life fully and joyfully and abundantly as we obey and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So it's a greater worth than the ownership of any earthly things to obey God. And the empowering of God's chosen enables them to respond to Him as His servants. Now, we are servants of God. We are called to be servants. Now, another encouraging promise is in verse 10, where it says, Sharon will be a pasture land for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. See, God, it's kind of like reading Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. See what He provides for when we follow the shepherd? He leads us to green pastures. So, the eastern valley of Achor, west of Jericho, would represent the easterly extent of the Holy Land. And though barren, it would become a resting place for herds. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 15 talks about that as well. And the whole country would be fruitful. Kind of like the promised land that God promised the Hebrews that were coming out of Egypt. Land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, God has abundance of resources for those who are faithful to Him. See, God promises to revive, to restore, to improve the dwelling places of those who have sought Him or seeking Him in life. Secondly, we see there's the consequences announced here in verses 11 and 12. And these verses describe how many the majority of Israel lived. These two verses describe how the majority of Israel lived. Listen to verse 11. And it depicts those who rebelled against God's and His ways. But you who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, talking about the high places, the holy mountain, the temple of God, who set a table for fortune, and who fills a cup with mixed wine for destiny. A while ago I referred to this as the idols, that they took food and drink to these false idols to please them, because they thought He would predict their future or help them in their future, which was completely obscure. So the opposite of seeking the Lord is what I would say, forsaking the Lord. They forgot God's holy mountain, where his house, where it was. And if we went back and looked at chapter 11, verse 9, it explains this as well. And they abandoned the pure worship, that covenant, that obedience that God demanded upon their lives, and even worse, have gone seeking the blessings of other gods. And we think, how could they do that? How could this world do that? How do we stray sometimes? Well, we lose our focus, and Satan catches us at our weaknesses sometimes. And then we think, you know, God is not listening, or he's not leading in the ways that we think. We kind of abandon his precepts. And that's what happened here. And they paid the consequences of abandonment. So those people who sought to control their destiny are destined for the sword, according to verse 12. And those who bow down before other gods, God will bow them down on the slaughter block. And such people, God said, are doomed because they refuse to listen to God and deliberately chose to go on sinning. Chapter 64 of Isaiah, chapter 4, refers to this as well. And it is the sin of stubborn rebellion against God in his way, when the world or people or nations follow other gods. All right. In verse 13 through 16, now we see the contrast predetermined. And the contrast between the people who are the Lord's servants and those who have departed from him are dramatically presented in verses 11 and 12. In verse 11, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, my servants will eat, but you will be hungry. Behold, my servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. Now I want you to look at the word therefore. Therefore refers to the preceding conduct in their lives. Since the attitude and behavior of the people is different, a different future awaits them. Talking about the disobedience in regards to those who are faithful, the faithful remnant. So behold, his servants will eat, they will drink, and they will rejoice. And while the apostate rejecters will be hungry, they will be thirsty, and they will be shamed. It doesn't pay not to follow God, because he's in control of all things. He always has been. He always will be in control. So eating and drinking and rejoicing characterizes a blessing God will receive. It characterizes those holy and righteous things of God. So this reference is not so much a physical, the eating and drinking, so much as it is the satisfaction that they represent, the spiritual things of life. Their physical and their spiritual needs will be abundantly supplied, so they will rejoice in God's care. See, there is so much here in this passage of Scripture for us to be able to comprehend and understand. But obedience is right in the center of all of this. You know, if we think and reflect on God's word and pray and seek his guidance. You see, it's just a breath away as we breathe a prayer of asking God for wisdom and for understanding and to direct and lay out a pattern for our lives to follow. And then we receive all of those unique and abundant blessings that God wants for each one of us and for people who are trusting. Now, in verse 14, there's a contrast. It continues here in verse 14, where it says, "Behold, my servants will shout joyfully with a glad heart, but you will cry out with a heavy heart, and you will wail with a broken spirit." So David experienced this when he sinned. And in Psalms 53, where he sinned with Bathsheba, his heart, he had a broken spirit, and that's what Isaiah is talking about here, when we disobey God and when we sin and nations sin. So the contrast destiny between rebels and the servants continue here in verse 15. Let's look at it quickly. "You will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and the Lord God will slay you, but my servants will be called by another name." In the Old and New Testament, God was always giving those in positions a special name for the special task that they've been called to do. And Israel and Judah, they were called to a special task. They were to be a holy and a righteous people before God. They were to be witnesses to the world. And you and I are witnesses to the world. We are Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, but the Bible refers to both as God's people. And we are all included in God's kingdom in presenting the gospel of Christ. Now, in verse 16, it gives us a promise, a hope of a new day. And this is the final verse, and it which says, "Because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by God of truth, and he who swears in the earth will swear by God of the truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight." There is only one support that is safe, and only one foundation upon which man can put his whole weight and be sure that the rope will not break or scorch his hands by slipping. He is the God of truth and the God in of the Amen. He is. And for those who have so entrusted, all of us and all of those who have trusted in God, their life to God, he gives them great encouraging promises. But right here in God's word, they will forget their previous difficulties. One of these days we'll forget about all of our difficulties. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what Isaiah is talking about here. And sins. We'll forget about sins because of God's grace. God's grace is sufficient. And God is more than willing to hide our former troubles or distresses from his sight. That's the promises he's given Israel right here. You stay with me. You seek me. You focus on me. You obey me. I forget your distresses. I'll forget your hardships. I'll forget your sins because you're my people. In closing, though the full consequences for sin may be a long time coming, sometimes they don't come automatically. Sometimes there's a progression, but sometimes they're a long time coming. They will be faced. They must be faced before God. And then when we face God, and he points them out in our lives, as he did right here to Israel, we'll have to stand there and say, "What? you're right. Right, I did wrong. And they confessed, and they realized that. And that's why he blessed the remnant who was willing to obey and confess. So the good news here in this message here today is that there are also consequences or rewards for faithfulness. So as the world sees the character in which in the lives of God's servants, they are drawn to him for deliverance from their own sins and distresses. And this is referred to also in chapter 12 and chapter 66 here in Isaiah. The Apostle Paul, I like what he said here in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who," what? Believes. The verse goes on to say, Jews first of all, and then Gentiles are included. Now, the meaning of that would be, there is blood at the cross for all who will come to Jesus. Very simple, isn't it? A simple following of God's commands in our lives. You know, it's not easy living in a world of sin, where Satan has domain of the earth and things like that in a world today. And too many people are following in that direction. So, you know, will we call ourselves a remnant, or we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ? Remain faithful, and you will be blessed always. I mean, God really tarries in his coming, I believe, in order for one more person, as I say back here in the baptistry, will be saved. And we can have a helping hand in that as we share the love of Christ with everyone we meet and let them know, you know, we want to see them in heaven as well. And all the things, the stresses and hardships in this world, one of these days will be forgotten by God. Wipe away all tears. And then we enter into heaven, where everything is perfect. Perfect. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the message that you have given us today through your word. Lord, I'm only a spokesman. As you speak to me, you speak to all of us. And you speak to us in ways that we can comprehend and understand your will and purpose in our lives. You speak to us individually as we go to you individually, and we come to you corporately as well as a body of Christ to call upon you to help us, to guide us and direct us and give us wisdom in this world here today, and helping us to understand that your kingdom is growing. It's increasing. And it does that by our witness to others who do not know you, and those who choose not to obey or reject you, then their lives become shame. But Lord, for those who will believe and seek you wholeheartedly, that's where the blessings and promises are fulfilled, now and through eternity. Anyone listening today, and those who hear, has a special need. Lord, I know that you will be willing to meet them where they are. We come as we are. We must be honest with ourselves before we can be honest with you. May we do that today. We will not do anything outside this church that we're not willing to do inside this church. So decisions must be made while opportunity and while you're calling upon us. May we be willing to do that this day. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. It's just as I am. That's the only way we can. We can come just as we are.